like a fear and trembling moment. Not a bad thing. For those that I haven't met before, my name's Kit, and I'm very, very honored and grateful to be here. I jumped at the chance to be able to come and see you. It's a homecoming for me, and get to see people I haven't seen in a long time. But I watch, as we all do. You can't help it. You stumble and you run into people and you hear things. And I just wanted a couple things. One, I want to thank you. You guys found me when I was lost in the world in 1989. I'm coming up on my 30th spiritual birthday, which blows my mind. But just a young man in big trouble, and you guys brought me in. And you helped me find my voice. You helped me find something I didn't know was inside of me. And you gave me a microphone, and I began to start trying to heal by pouring myself out. And then throughout all those years, 15 years, 25 to 40, you hung with me. And, you listened to me, and you put up with me. And in all my mistakes and my pride, you guys, you were faithful to me. You endured me in a lot of ways. And whenever I would stumble and come back, you were there, just taking me back. And I'll never be able to thank you enough for that, because you guys were preparing me for what I would go through. Because, storms come. We're not going to get through this thing without any pain. It's not possible. And I think one of the biggest things in our society is people are desperately afraid of pain and do anything to keep the pain away, whether it's to medicate, act out, risky behavior, go away, run, hide, identify with things that are not ourselves, and just, we, it's a society that's trying to learn how to live life without pain, and pain will set you free. We never choose it. We shouldn't, but it's going to come. But I've always wanted to go around and say thank you. I wouldn't be doing any of the things that I'm allowed to do now, able to do, if it weren't for you. And I mean that with all of my heart. This isn't kind of like preacher talk. You get up and thank. Thank you, thank you, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. And very excited about Fenton and his beautiful wife, Natasha. When I heard, and I want to say this. I kind of got off track, which I will do sometimes. But congratulations as a congregation for what you guys have gone through. And not like it was anything bad. It was just, it's life. It's the life of a church. It ain't easy. It's not all. Sometimes when you're paring down, that's the good stuff. And then when you kind of start coming back, tough churches, Amen to that. Thank you to the guys that and ladies that have been around through the whole thing. Man, I'm proud that you're still here. And not just that, but you're growing. And now you've got yet another wonderful leader. And you've had great leaders along the way, great pillars. You guys sometimes might feel like, man, we're just a little church up here. No, your reputation is one of service. This is the church of the ones that I know of in Atlanta that is known for actless? That doesn't sound right. You're known for not acting at all. No, I didn't say that. Selfless acts of service. And so I just wanted, sometimes you get so, you can't see yourself because you're in it. This is where you're at. I need to tell you from a guy that sees things, from afar, that is your reputation as a church that serves. And I don't know, if I had to pick one thing for a church to be known for, it's that. And so if you don't believe that, believe me until you believe it yourself. So I'm excited today to share some of my journey. And for those that, wondering, why is he, has it gotten that bad? I'm good. But this is my partner right here. And they call this Roots. I'll stand in front of, large groups of young people, and I'll say, what's his name? And they'll say, Roots. And I'll say, what's he mean? And they say, potential, all together, man. And this has become a partner, a companion. He goes with me pretty much everywhere I go. And the reason why is because of what he represents to me. And it was because of who gave it to me and why. You see, down on the streets of Atlanta, I got to be friends with this beautiful little brother. His name's Roots. And dark skin, hails from Jamaica, got these cool dreadlocks, long, cool beards, got these rock star glasses missing a stem. And because he lives on the streets. And he lived in this little tent when I met him, and then they flattened his tent and ran all the homeless folks out of this area. And so I met him on the streets down in Lakewood, down by that amphitheater. And so he became my friend, and he came up to me, and, you know, we get to hang out a lot, and he come up and say, "Brother Kit, you need to get a stick." And I'm like, "Why?" And he said, "Because if you're going to work on the streets, you might get hurt. And if you get hurt, you need some assistance. That thing will do that for you." And then I'm like, "Okay." And then he goes, "Hey, sometimes you're going to find some danger on these streets. And when you do, you might need protection." And I'm like, "Great." So now, and what it became for me is a source of inspiration. Because you see, there was a time when this thing was a branch. It was laying on the side of the road down on Lakewood Avenue. And, you know, I'm sure it had been kicked aside, trampled on. It was destined to be thrown away or burned. When a branch falls in my yard, that's what I do. I clean up the trash and I burn it in my backyard. But see, he didn't see that. He saw something nobody else saw because he was looking for something just for me. And so he took this branch, and it was the perfect branch. He searched. He told me this. He searched all around till he found one that was perfect for what he was visualizing I needed. And he could have picked a lot of branches, but he picked this one. And he cut off the ends of it, and he chiseled it down. He began to work on it and shave it. And then he carved these really cool grooves in it. And then he painted a beautiful thing just for me that symbolized my work. And then he shellacked it and he weatherized it and gave it to me as a gift. And man, I treasure it. I don't know where Roots is today. Somewhere along the way, he migrated back up north. And I wish I could see him and tell him what he's done. He doesn't know. This thing, it's encouraged people all over the world. He saw something in something that was destined to be thrown away. And he saw something that wasn't even there yet. And that's why the kids yell, "Potential." Because I say this, every one of us, and I'm not saying because you must be going through this or not. Every one of us, there's a you inside that you have not met yet. And that is the great thing about life. You get to continue to search for the real you and hopefully become closer and closer and closer to that authentic you that was Jesus, that is him. Nothing false about him at all. This is the work of art that is you, not the branch. But I know this, life will burn you. Life will kick you aside. Life will trample you. Sometimes life will pick you up and throw you in a garbage heap. And deep inside, if somebody sees you, there's a piece of art. And so I hope everybody feels like this today and not the branch. But I'm not naive. I know life wears us down, hurts us sometimes. And sometimes we just need for somebody to see us. You see, y'all got to... If you were paying attention and, you know, you got to see me fall gloriously. And I don't do things in a little way. And I don't really know how, Vicky. I'm like, you know what I'm saying? I just, you know, when I do good, when I do bad, boom. I mean, it's just, I don't know how to do anything little. And I believe that's how he made me. And there's some in here that are like, you relate to that. Some don't, and that's because God bless you. He didn't make you like that. If we were all like that, good Lord, anarchy! I mean, it'd be craziness. So he made us all the parts of the body, you know, working together, but he made me that way. So when I'm doing good, I'm doing real good. When I'm doing bad, I want to tear some stuff up. I'm hooked on whatever makes me feel good. And see, today, I'm hooked on feel good, the real stuff. And the fake stuff that doesn't last, yeah, it happens to all of us. But see, if you don't figure out who you really are, and this is from my experience, today I'm not going to be sharing things that I learned in a book, although I've learned a lot in books. I'm not going to teach things that a mentor taught me. It's not things I learned in D groups, which I did, or discipling partners. I did life-saving things. I didn't learn at seminary. Learned some there. I'm going to share today from experience. This is what I know that I know because I walked through it. And I walked through it today. And so experience is what I need to draw from. Now, I steal books and people and groups and church and all that is good. And I'm all in. But today, it's this journey because I got burnt out because I did not know who I was. I was in an identity crisis when y'all found me. I was back in one when I left you. And I didn't know who I was, and it was scary, and it was exhausting, it was depressing, it was anxiety. It was like always trying to figure out, man, I know what I want to do. Why can't I do it? How come I give up, or how come I fall down, or why are people always leaving? And that was my journey. So I decided I was going to wander a little bit, and I did. And there were rumors and all kind of different things. That turned out to be a good thing for me. It made me really want to get to know who I was. And so I went on this journey, and it was a wandering that became a full-blown walkabout. That's an Australian term. A walkabout. As you go out, it's a journey. And I did, and Roots didn't know when he gave me this beautiful gift that it was going to go on a world tour. That it was going to see things and feel things in prisons, in mosques, and synagogues, and cathedrals, and ashrams, and sweat lodge. And those are all real. It got this cool little dreadlock on it in India a few months ago by a little Hindu priest in a cave that blessed Roots. Isn't that cool? Some of y'all are like, uh-oh, first chink in the armor. I was with him until then. No, are you a scare? Are you afraid of things you don't know? Are you open to changing your mind today? Do you believe it takes a long time to change? See, I don't. You're like, man, I've been trying to change for years. It takes me years to change. I feel you. But here's what I believe. You change in a moment. The question is, how long is it going to take for you to get to your moment? See, life change. Boom. Ask Jesus. And people that ran across him, didn't take them weeks or months or years. They changed in a moment. And why do you think it would be any different today? So I went on this journey, and I sat at the foot of a rock star international guru. Counsels the United Nations. Sat with him for 4 days up in the mountains of Tennessee with a group of people. I went into a sweat lodge, 160 degrees. It almost killed me. I was fearing for my life. It was the hardest thing physically I've ever done. I asked the medicine man, what if I die? And he said, it'll be an honorable death. I'm like, shee, really? Dang. I went into prison mosques and got to know imams and said, teach me about Islam. And I learned, and there's some things maybe you don't know. Man, I went and sat with a rabbi, listened to him teach his synagogue, and I wanted to learn what I didn't know. You don't know what you don't know. I hung with Zen Buddhist monks. You know, I'm voracious. I wanted to learn, studying everything I could. I said, I'm going to go search. I hope you're all right. See, God, sometimes he ain't so mad. And so I journeyed around this crazy world of the last decade, learning. I studied the very big in cosmology. I studied the very small in quantum mechanics and Einsteinian theory. I studied civil rights, and I studied as much as I could, and I'm not done with that. I'm not afraid to learn what I don't know, but after it came full circle and I came, and I didn't see, here's the thing. I never walked away from Jesus. He walked with me. He stalked me. He wouldn't let me go. I didn't leave Jesus and come back. We went on a tour, a knucklehead tour. And I found out that God loves knuckleheads. He does his best work there. Read your Bible. He loves knuckleheads. Why? More glory. He's done this thing in a way that he has made it. It would be offensive and laughable if I took credit for it. And that's what I needed because I love to take credit for stuff. And that's what I love it. Love it. So I'm going to read out of Mark chapter 7. And just you can listen along if you like. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. And they begged Jesus to place his hands on him. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosened. He began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, which never worked. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear, mute speak. I had to find Jesus for myself. Y'all showed him to me. I learned all about him. I fell in love with him. I got to where I could teach about him and inspire people to change. But I had to find him for myself when I was in the storm. It couldn't be your Jesus. It had to be my personal. And see, Jesus, he loves to get personal. Think about this. There's a man, we don't know how old he was. I always think he was a young man. And his whole life had been in a bubble. And he never had heard anything audible. And because of that, he couldn't really speak, because you learn by hearing and mimicking as a little child. And he never was able to do that. And I can't imagine what life in that kind of bubble would be like. There was probably people that made fun. There was probably things that he did that were embarrassing. He might have decided, I don't even want to be around people anymore. Nobody gets me. Nobody sees me. Nobody feels me. Nobody's got me. But one day, somebody went, heard Jesus was coming to town, grabbed him up, and for some reason, in my mind's eye, just a matter of a big crowd, everybody trying to get to Jesus, the crowd parts, and they push this man into the middle. I see dust. I hear loud voices. And then Jesus, the way he chooses to deal with this man was much different. See, he healed the centurion's servant from a distance, like a missile heal. You know, other times he, Lazarus, come out, and he let the whole crowd hear him. He said, I did it that way so that you would know. So he had all these different ways of healing. He could do it however he wanted. Sometimes it was just a touch. Sometimes it was a command, come out of him. This time, he decided to take this young man by the hand and said, when he had taken him away from the crowd. Sometimes Jesus will take you away from the crowd. It's me and you right now. And we're going to go on a journey together. And I didn't know all this when it was happening. All I knew was I had to do something. It was life or death for me. And so for this young man, he takes him away from the crowd. And then he does something that is so personal. You might just skip over this sometimes. He takes it. And imagine if I just walked up to a complete stranger visiting for the first time today. And I said, how you do, sir? And I said, listen, you're not going to understand this. And I put my finger in his ear. One, it probably couldn't happen unless I did, you know, when we were young, Wet Willie came up behind somebody. You remember? Some of y'all been around the sun a few times. You remember that? It wasn't like that. He did it. He didn't ask. He got real personal with this young man. I'm talking about close. But he wasn't done. That was a warm up. Next thing, open your mouth. He puts his fingers in the man's mouth. How close do you got to feel to somebody to make that move? I wouldn't just not do that because of how it make you feel. I wouldn't do it because of how it make me feel. I'm not trying to do that. I mean, we don't know each other like that. I'm talking about I don't do that to my son, and we're close. But that Jesus gets personal because he wants to touch you where it hurts. See, this part, a lot of people don't like. Nah, shoot, who does? Some are afraid to get that close to Jesus because of what it's going to cost. I ain't willing to do that. I mean, he's going to try to get me to give this up. He's going to try to get me to start doing this. He's not going to let me hang with him, her. He's going to make me pick up this thing. He's going to make me drop that. I'm not trying to do that. I just want to come to church, hear a good sermon, and have a better life. And Jesus says, no, I mean, if you want to be free, and I'm talking about free indeed, you got to trust me. I'm going to touch you. I'm going to get so close to you, it's going to make you feel uncomfortable. More than that. And then I'm going to touch you right where it hurts. Why did he put his finger in the ear? Probably because that was a source of pain. He couldn't hear. So he touched him there. And then it's like, okay, you're not going to like this. He said, I'm going to touch you where it hurts. He didn't have a voice. Do you ever feel like nobody hears you? You ever feel all alone, surrounded by crowds of people? That was me. Y'all made me feel so good. But I felt like such a fraud. Y'all stood and applauded and laughed at all my jokes and lined up to come and tell me how great I was. And there was a part that felt good. At the end of the day, I'm like, if they only knew who I was. They don't know. I didn't want you to know. Sure, I'd be open every now and then because we had to, right? And we'll have to. And so Jesus is ready to deal with me. He's going to touch you where it hurts. All of us have pain. Been in there for a long, long time, covered up by a lot of stuff, been shoved down, pushed aside, dressed up. I've dealt with that. For me, it was wrapped up, a lot of it, in my relationship with my father. A tumultuous relationship growing up. You guys know alcohol and drugs, huge part of my story, huge part of his story. He left me when I was 23, died. And I've now come to terms with the fact I always thought got all the good stuff from my mom. And I did. A lot of my intellect and the way that I see things and problem solving and really analyzing and really just, I'm a mama's boy. I've always been close to my mom. I've never been sideways with my mom one time my whole life, best friends. We talk, if it goes 2 or 3 days, we start worried, where you at? Because we talk all the time, me and my mom. But I was mad at my dad for a long, long time. And I just, all the things that he did, you know, I blamed him for those things. I now have come to realize that my gregariousness was my dad. You know, he was a great salesman. That's why I am. Yeah, he was a great athlete. I got some of that from him. He was a great friend to people. And if I have some of that, it's because of him. He was a mama's boy. He took care of his mama. Alcohol was his thing that it ended up destroying his life. And it almost did mine too. So on this crazy walkabout, I'd been living in a bubble. And I think if we're not careful, the church can be a bubble where we don't really connect with the outside. We try to pick them off, bring them into our bubble. But as far as connecting with the community and being a Jesus is out on the front lines, you're never going to find him in the church. Where is he at? I thought he was a preacher. Went to his office, always locked. Yeah, you know why? Because he's out there where the people are. That's where he said he would be. He said he would be with the least of these. Sure enough, that's where he's at. He sees you. That's what I now understand about this beautiful Jesus. He sees you. And you're like, I know. And it drives me crazy because he knows when I'm naughty. We turn him into this Santa Claus in the sky, keeping records. He sees you. And there's a sermon for that, I guess. Roots, come on, baby. He sees you. Now, I now understand that he sees the beauty in me. When I feel ugly, he says, oh, no, I love your ugliness. It's beautiful to me. He sees my fear, and then he says, oh, but I know you're a champion. You always get up when you fall down. I love that about you. He sees the ugliness, and he sees how bad I feel when I mess up, and he goes, I dig that about you. Your heart's not hard. You feel it when you mess up. All right, you messed up, but I'm so proud of you that it hurts. Do you feel me? Good, because he feels you. He feels you. He doesn't just see you. He feels you. So all those times when I thought I was alone, oh, my gosh, he couldn't have been closer. He felt my pain more than I did because I deflect a lot of it. Oh, he doesn't deflect pain at all. He felt every bit of it. When I've been afraid, he feels that fear. It shakes him to the bone because we don't like to admit we're afraid. He feels you. I mean, how do you feel about the fact that you have got a Savior that literally knows you better than you do? Sees all the good in you that you won't let yourself see. He feels your pain more than you do because he's not on any kind of thing that to flex it. He sees you. He feels you. He's got you. He's got you. Like when we feel all alone, so not true. He is smothering you. He's all over you. And if you can't feel him today, it's not because he's far away. It's because you're in a place where it's afraid. I don't want to feel this. It's too much pain. And he's all over you, in you, over you, under you. We sang about that. Through us, in us. I tried to get as high as I could get. He was above me. I got low, low, low darkness, and he was my floor. I ran as fast as I could to get away. He's faster than me. I backed up and said, leave me alone. He caught me. You can't get away. How can you ever be away from him? He's in every cell. He's all through your DNA, every molecule, every atom, every quark, every string of energy in you. He's all through it. So when you feel like he's not there, not only are you wrong, it's impossible for him to not be there. If he's over you and through you and in you, how can you be afar from him? It is not possible. I want you to believe me today that when you are the most afraid, you're the closest to him that you can ever be. When you are the most ashamed, he's got you wrapped up so tight, that's what hurts so much. When you're depressed and feel all alone, when you feel like the branch, man, nobody cares me, it wouldn't even matter if I wasn't here. He says, you're so wrong. If for no other reason, I can't do this without you. I need you. How does it feel to know that Jesus says, I need you? He allowed himself in his deepest pain to ask his brothers, can you please stay awake and pray with me? He allows himself to need us to be his hands and his feet. It blows my mind. He feels you. You're hurt. You guys know this. Some of y'all were in the congregation that we were leading at the time of 98. And there was a Kingdom kid. And he had gotten in desperate trouble. Beautiful kid. And he had gotten jumped into a gang that you guys have heard of. One of the most dangerous gangs in the world. Probably ranked number 3 behind ISIS and Al-Qaeda and then this gang. He had become somebody in there, and he was looking at a death penalty. It was a death-eligible case. He was the star witness. His gang had crossed him out. They were trying to kill him every single day. His mom reached out to me. She lived right up here. And I went and started studying the Bible with him. And this is a time in my life where I wasn't studying the Bible. I was running. And then all of a sudden, I call him Luis, protect his identity. And I went and I started studying with him. Week in, week out, I would study with Luis. You see, sometimes when you're praying for that person that you want to bring in, that you need to study with, that you're trying to help, God bless you. And if you say, but I'm not even doing that and I feel so bad, God bless you that you feel bad. Stop kicking yourself so much. I think that's one of the biggest problems in the Christian world today is we're experts at self-judgment. When you reach out to that person, I thought I was going there to try to save his life. He saved mine. Did you hear me? I needed him maybe more than he needed me. And we were fighting for his life. The gang that was trying to kill him, they sent me text message saying, hey, listen to what we're going to do to you. I had cop cars sitting in my cul-de-sac, my beautiful wife going, honey, why are they out there? It's like, I got something I got to tell you. It got very, very real. God was dealing with me. That person out there that you've been thinking, man, I ought to reach out to them. I ought to love them. I ought to say something to them. It might be you that needs saving. It might be you that needs them because God got me in my Bible. He tricked me is what he did. He'll do that too. Save my life. Put his fingers in the ear. Touched his tongue. Touched his pain. And you're not going to like this very much. Sunny Sessions, sitting in a car over in Dunwoody, pouring rain. at nighttime after we just saw a movie together when I was in my worst place, 2004. He said, bro, you got to embrace that pain. He said, you got to roll around in it. You got to get comfortable with that pain. You got to make friends with your pain because that's what will set you free. If you feel a long way away from God, you're not, but it might be because there's pain that can become your friend. Pain's not so bad. It's okay. We have an amazing, indomitable spirit, this human thing, and we can get through so much more, even the unbearable, that I've never been through. It's amazing. That's heroic faith when you can get through something like that. He's preparing you now. Greg said those nice things. God was doing his good work, and he still is. You know, the Gooches saved my life because when I was going through the pain that I thought I could not take anymore, I said, if they can go through that, I can get through this. And I know that couple, through their perseverance, and that couple through theirs, has given, they've saved a lot of people in here. I know it. I know that I know that. We need people to be that Job. Everybody wants to be Paul. Nobody wants to be Job. But, hey, you don't even want to be Paul, I don't think. Come on now. That road out there is lonely sometimes. People don't understand. They'll ridicule. They'll mock. They'll say, oh, he's fell away. They'll say a lot of things. You've got to find Jesus for yourself. Now, you can find him right here in the midst. And I'm not telling anybody going to run like I did. I'm just saying he will sometimes pull you aside at that midnight hour. And he will use that thing. I don't know who said it, but he looked down at my choices and all the mess. And he said, son, I'm going to turn your mess into a message. And it's going to be the thing that people are going to say, dang, I can do that. If he can do it, if he can get up, I can get up. I hate having that gift. Somebody say, what's your greatest gift? I'd have had a lot of answers for that back in the day. It was wrong. For some reason, he gave me the gift is, son, when you get knocked down, you're going to get back up again. And I'm like, I don't want that gift because to exercise that gift means I got to get my butt knocked out again. Give me another gift. Nah, I'm going to give you the gift of compassion. I don't want that. You pray for courage. Watch out. He's going to say, got you. I got you. I'm going to give you some real scary things in your life. Give you some courage. Give me more compassion. Buckle your seatbelt. He said, I'm going to put you through what they went through. I'm not just going to give you compassion. I'm going to give you empathy. And empathy is the magic elixir. You want to connect with somebody? Feel them. See, a serving church, sometimes, not y'all, a serving church sometimes can be so serving. And that can be the identity that we don't see a lot of the spiritual warfare going on out there. And he says, okay, I see you. I see everything beautiful about you. I feel you. More than you feel yourself, I feel you. I've got you. Like, you're engraved on the palm of my hand. Can't get away from me. You're right here all day, every day. Here's the deal. I need you to see people. People say, how did you do this thing in the prisons? Death row, every major gang that you can think of, I got friends. I don't like what they're doing, but I got friends. How do you do it? I say, you know what? Here's my secret, and I don't even know where I got it. I don't go in there trying to take God to them. I go in there looking for God in them. I try to find the beauty in every one of them, and they cannot resist feeling close to me. Because if you will see people, this week I challenge you, when you run into strangers, try to make them laugh. When you run into people's pain, be the one that says, I'm so sorry, what can I do for you? Be Jesus to a generation that doesn't even know what he looks like. You can study the Bible, but if you don't get out there and do what he did, you'll never be close to this Jesus. I'm sorry. Quiet times are great. Oh my gosh, have them out there. Yeah, have that kind of quiet time. Maya Angelou said, the world will not remember long what you did for them, but they will remember forever how you made them feel. You make people feel good. Personal challenge, every day make a stranger laugh. It's the good stuff. get somebody to trust you so much because of the way that you see them that they will tell you their pain and then just sit with them. You don't got to fix them. Just sit with them. Prison ministry is a ministry of showing up. You just keep on showing up and they will love you. I've got convict friends out there that will die for me. Promise. I've got some that will kill for me and they've tried to get me to let them. I'm not even lying to them. Some of y'all are like, that's a bit of an exaggeration. No, I'm not. So serious. Somebody hurt somebody who's very close to me, and I was crying and letting them see my pain. Don't be so afraid to let people see who you are. Hand goes up in the back and says, what's his name? And I went, excuse me? And he said, his name, the one that hurt your boy. What's his name? I said, and then two or three, what's his name, bro? And I'm like, I can't tell you his name. Michael Lewis. Nobody you know, don't worry. And then they said this. They said, we won't hurt him. We'll just touch him. Now, I don't mean, I'm talking about they're going to hurt him. We won't kill him. We're just going to teach him. I was so tempted. See, but here's the heart that God had finally gotten me to. And you can't fake this. I decided I wanted to meet him. Tell him I forgive him. And tell him that he's hurt and he needs a healing. That's when I knew God had me. The day that I was holding hands with a brother inside a prison, maximum security prison, and he was confessing, doing the worst thing. I will say it in here. He's hurting little ones. And he's crying. And he's begging me to help him. And I'm holding hands with him. And it didn't occur to me until after we were done and I'd prayed with him that it didn't occur to me that to think about the one that had hurt me. I'm not afraid to tell you today that somebody hurt me when I was a kid and it wasn't a family member, but it was an adult that I trusted. That was a part of my story I was deathly afraid to let you know because I thought you would judge me. I knew God had me when I was holding hands with a predator, forgetting that I had been targeted by one. Has God got you? Like, has he got you all in? Don't be afraid. It's the good stuff. If you let yourself be you, cry, happy, laugh. No strangers in this game. Just go out and be him to somebody. Every time you connect with somebody, it was eyeball to eyeball. Nobody else on the planet but you. He asked questions. Listen, questions. Listen. Told a story, made you laugh, and then brought you in. Boom, bam, be free. But here's where I'll close with. He's going to give you a new story to tell. Are you courageous enough to tell it? I'm talking about a new story. You need a new story. The thing I love the most about this ministry he's given me is every day is different. Every single day is different. I love it. I love being in prison. I know it's weird, but it's so fascinatingly different every single time. I love spending time with these kids. Yesterday, God allowed me to hold a kid on the phone in the palm of my hand and say, please don't leave the planet. He was so dark that he said, my only way out, I gotta go. And I said, you might not have anybody in your life that's a big enough why for you not to do that. Let me be a why. I said, don't break my heart. Don't make me do your funeral, please. I said, I'm gonna need you. When we get through this, I'm gonna be studying with another kid that's hooked on heroin, and I'm gonna say, I gotta call my buddy. And I'm going to call you, and I'm going to say, I'm coming by to get you. We got to go. Triage time. And all of a sudden, that was enough for that day. There's people around you. They're dark. They're just putting on a happy face. Evangelism is not something you can check off a list. It's not something to make you feel better. Church attendance is great, but there ain't no boxes on God's list. He said, get out there. I need you. We serve a God that allows himself to need us. I think that's crazy. He could have pushed a button and made us do certain things, and he wouldn't. I need you. I see you. I feel you. I've got you. Now get your butt out of the church and go and love somebody. That's where the good stuff is out there. All the pain, it happens when we're focused on ourselves most of the time. Self-induced drama. What if that young man, he had his ears, he had his voice, he could see things and connect. He could hear stories. He knew what laughter sounded like. Maybe he could sing. And he started to sing and found out he had a beautiful voice. Never knew he had. He just had never met the real man till Jesus set him free. What if he'd have walked into your town and they said, "What happened to you?" And he said, "Not much." Is your story good news? The gospel, we think about what Jesus did for us, and he's the whole deal. What if your story became good news? Can't help but share good news. And the question I'll leave you with, and this is one that you might need to ponder all week. If there was no heaven, would you still follow Jesus? Because I'm telling you, it is without a shadow of a doubt, yes for me, because ain't nothing as good as that. If there was no heaven, I still got to follow him. He's too good. I want that for you. I'm a knucklehead. Y'all helped set me free. You let me come back. There's a lot of churches they tried to ask me to preach. Y'all did. And so I treasure it. And I hope today, maybe I encouraged you. He sees you. He feels you. He's got you. Go tell a new story. Set somebody free. God bless.